Which other type of strength is there? Emotional strength. Emotional strength. Wow. You know, the spirit of heaviness is very rampant in the youth today. Yes, spirit of heaviness. Many young people are emotionally drained, depressed, sad, unhappy. But you see, you have to remember that you don't have a spare life. There are spare tires, but there are no spare life. So make a choice to be happy. Yes. You have a choice to either enjoy life or endure life. Make that choice to enjoy life. I see a lot of young people suffering from depression. Joy is not a gift. It's a choice that has to be made. Choose to be happy. You must say to yourself, I just have one life and I must enjoy it. Amen.
Amen.
If only it's not a sin. And you can afford. And it will make you happy. Do it. Are you the group that I told you about this statement? But you are behaving as if you are hearing for the first time. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder why a 17-year-old person, girl or boy, she's depressed. She's going through depression. Some of you are waiting for somebody to make you happy. As if your happiness depends on somebody. Those of you who are married, your happiness doesn't depend on your spouse. Yes. You see people say, hey, my wife doesn't want to go out. My wife, I said, look, if he doesn't want to go out, go out and happy yourself. Happy yourself. Instead of being sad and being moody and angry and fight over useless things. Sometimes I tell my wife, sweetheart, let's go out and eat some nice food. So I don't feel like going out today. I feel tired a bit. I want to relax. I said, no problem. See you later. Yeah. See you later. I'll be back soon, baby. I make a call to one or two of my pastors. Hey, are you available? Sometimes I don't call them. I just go to a restaurant alone. And I order food. And I have my earpiece. And I'm listening to some beautiful music. I'm enjoying my pork chops. I'm enjoying my fish. Yes. Because my happiness doesn't depend on anybody. When you're emotionally weak and not strong, you are always counting on people's approval for your happiness and for your joy. You're always waiting for people to compliment you and say, Shwanda, your hair is very nice. Angelica, I like your shape. One day I met a sister, he said, nobody ever tells me I'm beautiful. Because of that, she's depressed. So I told her, I said that, let me tell you something. When you dress, just go and stand in the mirror. And whatever you would want people to say to you, say to yourself. Stand in the mirror and say that, if you are Angela, you say that, wow, Angela, your hair is very nice. And then you shake it a bit. Your dress is very nice. Then you move around. You look nice in your dress. Then you do 360. People may not celebrate you, celebrate yourself. Amen. These people are always sad. Some people even play with sadness. They play with sadness. They are happy to be sad. So emotional strength is emotional stability and solidity. Yes. Emotional stability and solidity. You are solid emotionally. You are stable. Not that you're always having mood swings. Today you are sad. Tomorrow you are. Today you're offended. Tomorrow you're happy. You can't even have friends. All your friends have walked away from you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Emotional strength is optimism. You must be optimistic. Hopeful. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You must be hopeful. You have to tell us everything is going to be better. God is going to use me. It's going to work. The church is going to grow. It's going to be powerful. I'm going to be anointed. God is going to use me. I'll minister to hundreds of people. Yes, it's a realm of optimism. You are optimistic. And you are positive. Positivism. You are positive. It's a realm of positivism. Yeah, you have good feelings of the future. The future is great. Yes. The future is bright. That's how Jesus operated. I said, that's how Jesus operated. Yes. Yes. He was optimistic. Yes. Look at the way Jesus spoke. No man ever spoke like that. I and my Father are one. Before Abraham was, I was. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Without me, you can do nothing. Some of you are always saying negative things about yourself. I know I am nothing. I know I am nothing. Really? I see myself as useless. I'm good for nothing. I am just a failure. No. It shows that you're emotionally weak. A person is emotionally strong. Hey. He sees things the way God sees things. Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Yes. Positivism. You are positive. Even when you are not feeling well, you tell yourself, I'm going to be fine. And you use scriptures to encourage yourself. You have to be able to quote Isaiah 33 verse 24. Do you know what is in Isaiah 33 verse 24? Look at it. And the inhabitants shall not sick. They shall not say what? I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Remember the scripture. When you are, the scripture said the inhabitants shall not say I am sick. Therefore I refuse to be sick. So don't use that word I am sick. It should never be your vocabulary. Positivism. Be positive. Instead of being negative. You have to say that I can do it. I can make it. It can work.
It's
going to work.
And it's working.
That's how you should speak. You have to say, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Your pastor brings an idea. Say, let's do it. Let's get on it. It will work. That was the problem with the Israelites. Yes, they lack emotional strength. Seriously. God told them, just go and spy. Send people to go and spy the land. Huh? Numbers 14, they went to spy the land. Then they came, said, hey, truly, the land there is a very good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Nevertheless, we saw the sons of Anak. Hey! We saw the giants and were like grasshoppers in their eyes. My God. He said, Numbers 30:33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Serious. And come and see. When the Israelites heard it, they all cried. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Emotional weakness. But they were boys. Young boys. They have emotional strength. Young people are supposed to have emotional strength. One was called Joshua. Another was called Caleb. The Bible said they still, they encourage the people. They say, hey, we are well able. We are well able. We can deal with these people. We can overcome them. Yes. We can start churches. We can. We can go on missions. We can become missionaries. We can go and learn a new language. We can. Say, yes, we can.
Yes,
they spoke unto the camp of the children of Israel, say, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Exceeding good land. Continue. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Continue. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. This is Joshua and Caleb said, hold these people. They are big and whatever. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not.
Yes. Fear them not.
Yes. Do you know what causes emotional weakness? Fear, fear, fear. Yeah. Fear is the causal agent of emotional weakness. Anybody who is emotionally strong have learned to overcome fear. Fear is an enemy that takes away your strength emotionally. People are depressed. People are sad because they are afraid of something. Afraid of something. So these people are afraid. But the guy who was not afraid, look at the way he spoke.
Oh, yeah.
Said, well, these people, they are bread. They are bread. Their defense has already been taken away from them. There's no protection. There's no defense. We'll finish at one time. Let me tell you. Between where you are and where God wants you to be, are things the enemy will send to intimidate you.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. between where you are to the next level of your life is the enemy called fear. If you don't conquer fear, you can't move to the next level of your life.
Wow.
And especially ministry. Yeah, especially ministry. You see, Timothy had a call of God on his life. He had gifts. In fact, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, so when I remember of the unfeigned faith, did you see? I said, I remember of the unfeigned faith which first dwelt in your mother, your grandmother Lois, and it was in your mother Eunice also. And I'm persuaded that it is in thee also. You say you have a gift. I saw it first in your grandmother, and it passed on to your mother, and I know that it's also in you. I can see that gift. And in verse 5, he said, verse 6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remember that you stir up that gift. The gift of God is there. Stir it up. It's there. I have even laid hands on you and I've added more grace to it. Stir it up. But Timothy was afraid. So he was there. He won't preach. Some of you are gifted. You are anointed. Some of you are missionaries. You are a church planter. You are an apostle. You are a missionary to a certain country. But you are afraid. And the gift is there. You can do it. You can make it happen. A nation is waiting for you. A city is lying dormant, waiting for you. So in verse 7, he said, Timothy, for God has not given you the spirit of fear. Because he could see that fear was the reason why he was not stirring it. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Where there is fear, there's no love.
Wow.
Where there's fear, there's no sound mind. That's why people get depressed. The mind is not sound. Where there's fear, there's no power. You become weak. Fear is from the devil. It's a demonic thing that the enemy sends to hunt people down, to obstruct them, to stop them from moving on to the next level of their lives. So imagine Timothy was carrying a mighty gift. But fear has kept him in bondage. He couldn't move on. God can be with you. God can give you a gift. But if you don't overcome fear, you'll be stagnant and you'll be as though you don't have any gift. Let's look at Joshua. Before Joshua became a man of optimism. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Moses, God had told Moses that, you know, he's supposed to die. And so Joshua was going to be his successor. So he wanted him to lay hands on him so that the spirit of leadership and governance that he placed upon him to be transferred to Joseph. Joshua. Okay? So he did that. And the children of Israel, hearkening unto him, did as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 10. Oh, is that the last verse? Quickly, brother. Hello. Hello. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Okay, so now Moses died. Can you imagine Moses, who has led them for 40 years with signs and wonders? We have not gotten to the promised land. Now they find themselves outside of the river Jordan. They have to cross. And the man whom God has used all these years has died. Bible says for 30 days they were weeping and mourning, crying. Crying. Moses, why did you leave us? Moses, why did you leave us? After the mourning was over, you see, God allowed them to cry for 30 days. Legally. He watched them, allowed them to cry and weep for 30 days. Okay, now the funeral is over. continue the journey and go and possess the land. But Joshua was still sitting there. Joshua chapter 1. So now God came to speak to Joshua. And after the death of Moses, God's servant, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. You think he's coming back? He's dead. Say he's dead.
He's dead.
Some of you, that old boyfriend is dead. That relationship is dead. You think he will come back? That's why you are sad. You are broken hearted. God says, I should tell that Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise. He was sitting, sad, depressed. God said, come on, rise up and take the people. And you and the people, go over this river Jordan. Go over. They were afraid. Yes. Fear makes you stagnant.
Yes.
Some of you, you cannot marry because you are afraid. So you have remained stagnant. You are 28 years old. You are burning. You won't marry. You are afraid. Serious. You are 40 years old. You haven't married. I'm talking to the brothers. Sometimes even the sister, there's a brother who likes you, but you are afraid. You are sitting by River Jordan. You lack emotional strength. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Some of you have decided not to enter into a relationship before because you had Moses who broke your heart.
Say it, Bishop.
Moses.
One broken heart you had. You have decided that no more. You won't give any brother a chance. And then you start saying that all men are the same. Men are trash. Hey, who said that? Who said men are trash? Look for her. Look for her for me. Men are trash. Who told you? Who told you?
Who said that men are trash?
One broken heart that you had. Look at the way you are talking. You are no more full of positivism. You are full of holism. You are saying that all men are trash. All men are the same. Go and ask my wife whether all men are the same. It's not true. We are not the same. At all. You only met the wrong person to teach you. Yes. And sometimes God uses a relationship to teach you, to help you to mature. Bible said that he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Wow. Yes. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. So instead of saying that I'm not going to be in a relationship again, I'm not going to bother myself again, you have to encourage yourself that God took away the first so that he will establish the second. Else you'll be stagnant. You will not move on with your life. Yes, and you see that even though you are spiritually strong, you see, like Joshua, Charlie, he has received an impartation from the most anointed man on earth. I would say there was no prophet like Moses. He laid hands on him, and the spirit of wisdom, leadership, it came upon him, and everybody could see that Joshua was walking in Moses' anointing. But he lacked emotional strength. So spiritual strength, he had it. But emotional strength, he didn't have it. So you may have spiritual strength, but if you lack emotional strength, you will just sit at River Jordan and be weeping, crying, sad, depressed, not making any. That's why God came and said, "Hey, arise. Why are you still crying over Moses? Why are you still crying over Moses? Why are you still crying over Jonathan? It's been 3 years that you broke up with Jonathan. Why are you still talking about Jonathan? When Johnny is waiting for you, when Johnny is staring at you, when you are blocking Johnny's view, Johnny is saying you are blocking his view and you won't mind him. Emotional strength is emotional stability and solidity. Yes. Some of you are in a relationship, you just swap. You say, today you are with this, and next time you have changed your mind. You want another person. Then you are not emotionally stable. You can't make up your mind. You are not sure. Shall I go to Angelina or I should go to Shawanda? Verse 3. Joshua 1 verse 3. God is not speaking to you. He said, every place. Listen. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses. See, God is now trying to encourage him because he's discouraged. So God is now trying to encourage him. Then look at it. Verse 4. He said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now look at verse 5. Verse 5 is the greatest encouragement to Joshua. And it's the greatest encouragement to all of us. There shall not any man that will be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you. Wow. Nor forsake thee. Three things. I will be with you. I will not fail you. And I will not forsake you. You see, you can receive all this encouragement. The only thing God cannot do for you is to overcome fears for you. That's why it's emotional strength you have to develop. God can promise you, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. But if you don't learn to encourage yourself, and be strong and be courageous and have emotional strength, it will not mean anything to you. So God said, even as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will be with you. I will not fail you and I will not forsake you. Verse 6, only thou be strong. You be strong and be courageous. Be strong. You be strong. God said, I cannot be strong for you. Can God be strong for you? How can God be strong for you? Say, you be strong. You be courageous. Be optimistic. For unto these people shall thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Then he repeated the same encouragement, the same thing again, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Then in verse 9, God went to town. He was now getting angry with this guy. He was still sitting there afraid. He said, have I not commanded thee to be strong? Have I not told you that you got to be strong and be very courageous? Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever you are, thou goest. Now listen to me. I told you that your greatest enemy is the enemy called fear. Yeah. It is that enemy that takes away your emotional strength, your emotional stability and solidity. But I want to show you how to overcome that enemy. Do you want me to show you how to overcome that enemy? The people here, they don't want me to show them. Okay. This is the only remedy to overcome fear. Is to be conscious that God is with you. You have to be conscious that God is with you. Psalm 23 verse 5 says that, 4 and 5 says that, yet do I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. David was conscious that God is with him. God was with him. That's why God kept saying that I will be with you, even as I was with Moses. You see, when God called even Moses to go and bring deliverance to the Israelites, he was afraid. Because, number one, he was a fugitive. He had killed somebody. He was wanted for killing, for murder. He was all over newspapers and television. And he has run all the way to the backside of the desert. And now God comes and says, hey, go back and tell Pharaoh, super nation of the world, go and tell the most powerful king on the earth, go and tell him that I, God, I say that you should let the people go so that you may serve him. Moses said, what are you talking about? Me? As if you don't know what has happened. But you see, when God demonstrated his power to him, the fear disappeared. Oh, yes. He said, Lord, this guy, you are creating a problem for me. He said, don't worry, I'm with you. So he asked him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, throw it on the floor and see what will happen. He threw it and it became a snake. He said, wow. He said, hold it by the tail. He held it by the tail, became a rod. And he said, with this rod, karabata la katabusha taya, you will finish Pharaoh one time. When Moses saw it, he said, Lord, don't talk too much. He went, Pharaoh, where are you? Pharaoh, where are you? Straight to Pharaoh. And when he got there, he said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may see me. You see, the assurance that God was with him, he was not alone, it gave him emotional strength. His fears went away. He became as bold as a lion. And he went in the power of God to confront Pharaoh and his army. That's what God told Joshua. I will be with you. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. Listen, the only thing God promises his children is his presence. Not money. His presence is everything. In his presence there is fullness of joy. In his presence there is liberty. In his presence there is provision. Everything you need is in his presence. And when you have God's presence, that's all you need. That should help you to overcome every fear. Oh, yes. People ask me, so when you were going to Mozambique, were you not afraid? Mozambique was the poorest country in the whole world. Yesterday we checked. It was number 6. It's number 5. Yes. That's after 20 years, we are number 5. I was going to the poorest country in the world. Was I not afraid? Fear came, but when I remembered the I became conscious of his presence. I remembered Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Verse 18 said, all power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, because that I am the one who has all power, both in heaven and on earth. Mozambique includes the earth. The power in Mozambique, I have power, everything there. I have that power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach what? All nations, including Mozambique, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always unto the end of the world. I will be with you. These are the words of Jesus. I will be with you. As you are going to Mozambique, I will be with you. Don't forget who I am. I have all power. All power has been given unto me. After resurrection, I have all the power. Power over death. Power over everything. Power over poverty. Power over challenges, difficulties. Power over language barrier. I have power over everything. I'm the one sending you. And I promise you that as you go and teach the people in Mozambique, I will be with you always. Not sometimes. I will be with you always. Not for 5 years. Not for 10 years. Until the end of the world. So if ever you are told or there's a calling for you to be a mission to go somewhere, remember when they say that, hey, that place is dangerous, you can be poor, you won't get a job, there's other, tell them that, hey, I know, but I also know that God is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Yeah. So the consciousness of God's presence being with you is the master key to overcome any form of fear. Any form of fear. Just tell yourself that God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. Yes. When you lose that consciousness, fear takes over your life. Wow. And fear will cripple you. Yes. It will cripple you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
So, from today, anywhere the spirit of fear shows up, you rise up and say, if God be,
yes,
who can be against me? Yes. You know, all the armies of Israel, they were afraid. So when David stood in front of Saul, do you know what he said to him? 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. Look at it. Look at it. 1 Samuel. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail him because of him. They were all afraid, including king, the king himself. Let no man's heart fail him because of him. That servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Change the version. Change the version. Yes. He said, don't worry about this Philistine. Don't worry. Worry. Worry is an emotional weakness. Yes. Why are you worried? Worried about life. Worried about tomorrow. The fear of the unknown. Anxiety. Fear of death. Fear that you'll never make it. Every time, every now and then, there's something. The fear of this, the fear of this. What about if it doesn't work? What about if you marry and you divorce? What about if you marry and you don't divorce? What about if it works? Why don't you look at the other side? That's why I said that emotional strength is a realm of optimism and positivism. Positive. Yes. So Joshua, when finally he caught the revelation that God was with him and he became conscious of it, it changed everything. He became a ruthless fighter and a warrior. I tell you, he dealt with every enemy that came his way. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, are you alone or God is with you? And the easiest way to conquer fear is to do the opposite of what fear is saying. Yeah. Fear say don't go. Go. Fear is going to work. Say it's going to work. Fear is saying don't enter into this relationship. You enter. Go the opposite of what fear is telling you not to do. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.